Thank you, Tim. Thanks, Eric. So it's been our pleasure for the past several months to be going to all the staff members and elders and saying, hey, what is a truth from the Bible that has just transformed your life? And we've heard some great messages from not only our elders and staff people, but from the pastors as well. Today we have Christian Allman, one of your elders, and local from Clear Lake. And Christian, why don't you come on up? And it's going to be my pleasure to be preaching on his transformative verse. But I'm sure you're really going to appreciate what Christian has to say this morning.
Good morning. You guys all comfortable? Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of guts for Pastor Gary to hand over the microphone. The advantage I have is that he's not here today, so... If he asks how this went, just put in a good word for me, okay? So I picked the verse, Philippians 4:6. I picked, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you think about that, that's a big deal. That's hard. Be anxious for nothing? What? Nothing. That's nothing. That's tough. But he tells you how to do it. And I got to tell you, I didn't get this verse quite until we had our first kid. And I think I still relearn it all the time. But when Caleb was born, we had the normal birth story. You go to the hospital and the nurse hangs out with you for a while and then finally the doctor comes in, except the doctor came in a little late, and by the time he came in, he said that there was an issue and we needed to go into a C-section. And he said it had to happen very quickly. So he gathered a team and he put it together. And if you've ever been through this as the dad, it's an amazing feat of medical technology to see how they put this together. And they were cool and calm and collected. And then at the end of it, the doctor told me, you know, I have to tell you, that's the most challenging C-section I've ever done in 30 years. I just thought you should know. Couldn't tell. Thank you for telling me. And then we had that, you know, that lovely, charming moment. The nurses all leave, and the baby learns how to drink, and my wife is exhausted because of this, and she's nursing this baby. And then she tells me, rather worried, hey, he's not breathing. And I thought, oh, you know, we've been parents for all of 20 minutes. Surely he's breathing. You're just tired. And she goes, no, he's not breathing. And she raised him up in the air, and his arms kind of flopped out, and he turned purple. And I thought, that's not good. So I ran out in the hall and said, hey, I need a little help here. And the nurses are assured that I'm just the worked-up dad, you know, that maybe the kid's not drinking milk like he's supposed to. And finally, this lady elbows her way to the front and sees it's rather serious, and she gets this big bulb out. And she wasn't even our nurse, but she was quite concerned and realized that she would be the best one for the job, and I think she was right. And she got him back going. And the next couple hours, this baby just, he was alive, but he faded. And he got worse and worse and worse. And they took the measurements and checked his heart rate, and this doctor, just his pediatrician, gets increasingly less encouraged by this, which is not encouraging for me to watch. And finally, he took an X-ray and concluded that the baby had a collapsed lung, and that's what was going on. And through this whole time, I'm spending a fair amount of time in prayer. I'm thinking, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And finally, I got to the point where this baby keeps getting worse and worse, and the doctor gets more and more discouraged. I realized there is nothing I can do for this baby to get better. No amount of encouragement or charm or positive thinking is gonna save or not save this kid. So I got to the point where I essentially prayed to God and said, you know, God, we're pretty excited about this baby, but it's yours. And I'd like to take credit for it, but it was clear I couldn't do anything, so it's not like I was giving up a whole lot. I essentially said, well, if you want him, you can have him. And then the doctor said he was flying to Santa Rosa. And he went on a helicopter. He looked like a little burrito on the end of this stretcher. And we went over and found him. My dad gave me a ride over Hopland, which is fun, after 24 hours of labor and so forth. And then the baby started to get better. God decided that we learned what we're supposed to learn, and he'll be here for second service after baseball practice, and he's in great shape. And the first response to that is, of course, well, that's a good story, but sometimes it doesn't go that way, right? Sometimes be anxious for nothing means be anxious for nothing even if you don't get to keep it. And if you guys were in the church 6 or 7 years ago, you knew a girl named Janae Nolan. The Nolan family had a number of boys, and the youngest was their daughter, Janae. And Janae got sick with leukemia. We were helping Chris with the youth group when Janae was part of the youth group. And right around the time our baby was born, everybody was praying for Janae and praying for Janae. And you always think, you know, they'll be fine. And this time she wasn't fine. Janae, actually, God did take her home. She died in high school. And we took our young baby to her funeral here at the church. And if you know the Nolan family, you know they're an incredible family. And that peace of God was proved to me in their hearts. It was one of the first times we had our baby out, and we were standing out in the hall as this packed church is letting out. And the Nolan family comes walking out the door, and they look at peace, and I'm thinking, how can you possibly be at peace? And I interviewed Cindy Nolan about this later, and she told me that this verse, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, it had an incredible impact on them as they went through this. And we're standing out in the hall with our new baby. The Nolan family comes walking out, and they've obviously got one thing on their mind. They just lost their youngest daughter. And yet Cindy Nolan comes over. She sees Caleb. She'd seen Rachel pregnant with Caleb, and she saw he was born. And she looked straight at Rachel from one mom to the other and said, your baby's beautiful. And I thought, how can you even do that? That's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
The one time I thought I wasn't going to choke up. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much that your word can be such an encouragement to us. May it be written indelibly on our heart. Lord, we've come across this section of scripture so many times in the past 6 months. Obviously, you have something for us here. May we be diligent in figuring out what it is for us personally, individually, uniquely. Lord, I thank you for all of our staff and elders, and I pray that you would give us a special blessing of grace and peace. Father, I lift up to you all of our folks who aren't here because they're ill. Whether they're struggling with cancer or surgery or some other ailment, I pray that you would help them to be anxious for nothing. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Philippians 4. Can you do me a favor? Can you turn down the spots like 10, 15, 20%? Because I feel like I'm standing in the Shekinah glory. Y'all can see me, right? Okay, I didn't just disappear. It's not like camouflage. I turn the lights down, I disappear. We're good? Okay. If you haven't noticed at all yet, maybe you're new around here, I am a grab life by the horns kind of guy, right? Give me a problem, I just jump right in and I try to fix it. I'm a fixer, I'm a doer. Do I have anybody like that out here? Do I have any brothers or sisters in spontaneity out here? And there's, and if we're on, like, oftentimes things work out. It's fine, right? Things work out. It does well. No real massive problems. Yeah, there might be an emergency room visit, but typically speaking, it's not a problem. But then there are those moments for us doers. I've already got Mike Wilds laughing because he knows. Oh, man. I did it this time. Right? Right? Can anyone relate? Or maybe you're one of those ultra planners. Or do I have any ultra planners out there? Maybe you're married to one. I think I might be. And that's not a dig or anything. That's, I mean, praise Jesus, you're around to counterbalance people like me. Right? But I'm sure that you can attest that just because you have a plan doesn't mean that things go according to plan at all, right? Right? And you said there comes a moment where things get so sideways every once in a while, you just throw up your hands in frustration, right? Or you hide in a corner in just anxiety about what's about to happen, and you spend a tremendous amount of brain power coming up with plans and contingencies, and those never even come to fruition every once in a while, right? And then you're just there, spent emotionally, physically, spiritually, just spent. We all have those moments. We all do, all of us, where we just let go. Jesus, take the wheel! Right? It begs the question, how much control did you really think you had to begin with? And a follow-up question, why wasn't Jesus sitting in the driver's seat to start with? Right? This portion of scripture here, we've gone over it several times, it seems like, in the past 6 months. We did it when we were studying Philippians. I think it was Joel, weren't you Philippians 4:4? Who was Philippians 4:4? Which elder was Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Thank you. I mean, we're right there. We're in the same section of scripture. Philippians 4:4. I'm going to read it from there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5 is, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Man, only if we could just capture that one, right? The Lord is near. Imagine if we woke up every morning just resting. The Lord is near. I think that would keep me from a lot of stuff. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe you've noticed, or maybe you haven't, from the pulpit here for the past couple of months, there's been an insinuated call to bolster your prayer life. No one stood up here and says, pray more, right? Pray better. No one's doing that, but we mention it. Hey, are you praying about X, Y, or Z? Hey, there's the prayer list in the bulletin. Are you doing that during the week? There's been this general call for all of us to bolster our prayer lives. Because we understand that there are all sorts of things happening in the life of our church. Some of them are cause for praise, right? You ever pray just to praise? Or is it just a laundry list of things that we need help with? And some of them are matters for concern, and then others are matters for action. And these verses, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, kind of help us, and it speaks directly to the core of how we handle these curveballs of life. First off, don't be anxious about anything. We heard that, right? Christian was perfect on that. I don't know that I could have done that well. Seriously. I don't know that I could have. Don't be anxious about anything. In other words, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let's not forget that trusting in the Lord is not just a salvation experience, right? Trust in Jesus. You can be saved. Yes. Absolutely, yes. We're to trust every day thereafter, aren't we? Sometimes we try to pick up some of it. No! Holy trust in Christ. Don't let an undue amount of concern dethrone God from your day-to-day stuff. And I'll say, I mean, we're to be concerned about things. No one's whitewashing anything. But don't let it cripple you. Don't let it stop you from trusting in God. I mean, if we just read the Psalms, man, you get all sorts of, Jesus, I need to trust you more. Why are you allowing this to happen? God, help me. Right? It's an prayer is an emotional experience. Not just rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Don't let care and concern dethrone God in your day-to-day. Trust him in a way that we're going to be trusting him in a way that's going to seem antithetical to people outside the church. Why? Because we're called to pray about everything instead of grabbing the situation by the horns. We're supposed to wrestle with God for an answer. Not just wrestle some contrived idea and solution that you've come up with and then later on hope that you are in his will. Anybody ever do that? Man, I am guilty of that. Act now, hope for spiritual help later. That's a bad way to roll, doers. That isn't to say that we shouldn't act. On the contrary, we're called to action, right? But first, we need to hear from the Lord about how he wants us to proceed. Now, I know it's difficult for us doers out there. It really is. I mean, if you're connected to a doer in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a brother, sister, kid, husband, wife, know that it's a struggle for them to stop and pay attention. Listen to God. Plan out a little bit. But our faith in Christ, our faith, trusting him when it just seems like I could just, and fix it. You ever do that? Like, I know, I've got some guys here, we know we can ram a bolt home if we have to, if that hole is not big enough. Right? Forget screwing the bolt down. Get a sledgehammer, 10-pounder. We'll get that thing right where it needs to be. No, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith, trusting in Christ in a situation where it would just be so easy if I. Mm-mm. See, glorifying and pleasing him is tantamount in our lives. If you know Jesus, glorifying and praising him and giving him all credit and pleasing him in abundance and seeking him out is pleasing to him, is our first and highest priority. Now, for all you ultra planners out there, you're not off the hook either. You're not off, because in Ephesians 5, we're told there's an opportunity for ministry. Doors open and close. Opportunities come and they go. You have an opportunity to speak with someone about Jesus, and then they move away. You have an opportunity because their ministry should seem to, well, this makes sense. Someone should just step in and do this. I can come up with the whole plan. I just got to, here's a three-ring binder. This is how you should do this ministry, Pastor Jason. No. Open up your own binder, planner. Figure out how to make that work. There's an opportunity for ministry. So we're to be living this abundant life, right? Jesus has come to give you an abundant life now. And that life is a life of living sacrifice, which brings us to a place where we can affirm what his good, perfect, and pleasing will is. Anybody out there ever get lost on, God, I wish I knew your will. I'm kind of clueless. Are you living a life that's a living sacrifice? And let me help you. Prayer is the key there. Prayer is uniquely brings us into a very rich, real, unique relationship with Christ. And this intimate time with the Lord should develop within us a greater sense of trust and godliness. I'm going to give you some Gary. Pastor Gary loves to quote Charles Spurgeon. I'll give you some. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Even as the moon influences the tides of the sea, even so does prayer influence the tides of godliness. For when our prayers become like the crescent moon, and when we stand not in conjunction with the sun, then there is but a shallow tide of godliness. But when the full orb shines upon the earth, and when God Almighty makes the prayers of his people full of joy and gladness, it is then that the sea of grace returns to its strength." Man, I wish I was smarter and I could speak like that. But that idea of getting together with the Lord in prayer that's passionate and lively, you can do that. There is nothing stopping you. Let me encourage you, if your prayer life is stale, I've gone through it, I've been there. Wake up, oh, you're in the shower, Jesus be with my day. Amen. Wow. Maybe it's like, maybe the one time is the dinner table. How did you do at school today, little Timmy? What'd you learn? Nothing. All right, let's pray over the meal. Let me encourage you to just shake off the shackles of tedium and bring to God words that are just full of life and emotion. It's okay to be real with Jesus. And sometimes it's a great thing because you're in a good mood. Sun's shining, birds are chirping. Jesus, you are great and mighty and awesome in all so many ways. Like you bolt up out of bed, I'm breathing again. I've got another day to perpetrate goodness on the earth. Some days it's rough. Some days it's rough. I'm there with you. Some days you just can't catch a break. I think of the Zeke family. I could think of my own family, but we're the Zekes are on our heart. I mean, here they deal with all this Carly stuff. And then Gary's got to have shoulder surgery and be immobilized for 2 weeks. And he's at home for 2 days. And Carly's sweet dog has a heart attack. Yes. Let's face it, it's a dog, okay? We love our animals. I love our animals, love my dogs. But I mean, sometimes you're just, Jesus, can we give the Zekes a break? And I'm seriously praying that right now. I'm not giving you commentary from the pulpit. Dear Jesus, give the Zekes a day. And it's okay for us to be emotional with Jesus. He made us this way. He made us this way. You can be real with Jesus. I want to say something to you, and I want you to catch it. Now, notice I don't typically do like three letters that are all the same and bullet points, and I don't. This is not me. I'm sorry. But here, let me say something to you. If you walk away with anything today, I want you to walk away with this statement, okay? No one but ourselves can take prayer away from us. I'll say it again, but more personally this time. No one but you can take your prayer life away from you. If you want a rich, I don't know how to pray, get together with people who can pray. Practice at home. If you have to practice with the door closed and the kids yelling and screaming and having a Nerf war outside, do so. If you need to get together with somebody that you're like, hey, man, that guy knows how to pray, invite them out to coffee. See, we might ignore its power, prayer. We might ignore its power. We might neglect doing it. We may even pray with the wrong motives. Dear Jesus, I would like a really fast car. We might do it with the wrong motives. Worse, we might pray and not bother to look for an answer or not acknowledge the answer. Oh, low on us. Let us be a people who look for answers to prayer. But if we're willing to set our spiritual lives in step with the Holy Spirit, man, we can be agents that affect the world in mighty and great ways. James 5, right? Everyone's heard this one. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Go on. Wrong me. No rain for nobody. And then he prayed again, and the rain came down. Now some of us, I'm right there with you. Oh, Jason, that's Elijah, though. Come on. Really? You're going to make, well, the Bible says yes, so I'm going to say yes. But here, how about Joshua? Now, none of us have been, well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe there's one or two of you out there. Commanders of large armies, right? That go and take over land. But Joshua was Joshua, right? Joshua. Everyone knows Joshua. Oh, Joshua. Joshua 10 says, on the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said in the presence of the Lord and the Israelites. So Joshua's just standing there in front of the people like this. Just like this. You and me. And how does he say it? Now the words say, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. He's asking the Lord to stop time so that it can be fulfilled that the Israelites would take over the Amorites before the end of the day. I don't think he just said it like that. Now, I am the crazy person who might be like, maybe he whispered it. That seems more powerful, right? Oh, son, just stay there for a second. Moon, if you wouldn't mind, don't bother going any further. That's silly. I think, son, don't move. Moon, ma, we got business to attend to. And do you know, in verse 13 it said, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. It also says that it stopped for about a whole day. What is that about? I am looking forward to finding out. But prayer of a righteous person can be powerful and effective. Do you want to be powerful and effective? I want to be powerful and effective. Let us all be more godly. And that relationship with Christ and prayer, it's so intertwined. It's right there. It's right there for you. And as this drawing closer to the Trinity through prayer, there's a result. There's a peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, who gets the credit? God. God gets the credit for all of it. He's the only reason, and so it has to be attributed back to him. People will question it. It becomes the calling card for you in times of trouble that everybody can see, that you're going through a hard time, and it becomes the calling card. It creates the opportunity for you to tell people about Jesus. It affects not only our actions, but our words, both so crucially important so that we can make the most of every opportunity. You want to live life abundantly? Make the most of every opportunity. At the same time, that peace, it's going to guard our hearts and minds. Let's not forget that our hearts and minds need protection. They need guarding. And we are not good at that. If left unchecked, our selfish will, our ambition, our sinful nature will get the better of us. God, on the other hand, God knows how to guard stuff. He knows how to guard things. And let me tell you, what's in your heart and mind is worthy of being guarded. That character that you've been developing in your life, that God has been molding and shaping within you during this lifetime, is worthy of being guarded. And your hope in Christ, an eternity with him, that's also worthy of being guarded. So pray about things in general through prayer and petition, supplication. Prayer, that prayer portion is in general. Jesus, thank you so much for giving me another day. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. Thank you for giving me your word. Pray in specific. Dear Jesus, be with my kid. Help me to understand how to parent that person. Father, be with my roommate. They're doing things that they shouldn't, and I need to know how to bring it into the light. Father, be with my parents. They don't know Jesus, and they need to understand, and it's going to be for me. Pray, God, I just pray that you'd be with the Zeke family and how they're dealing with everything. God, I just pray for all the fire victims in Lake County in general. Be with my neighbor. Be with the person who lost their house in the flood. Be with them because they don't know you. How can I be part of that, Lord? Be thankful with thanksgiving. Why? Because you're praying in faith and trust that God is going to do something. God's going to do something. Don't let the stale prayers dilute how powerful prayer can be. God's going to do something. Aren't you excited to find out? People ask you to pray for them. Tell you what, pray for them. And then bug them. Hey, last week you asked me to pray for such and such. How's it going? Oh, nothing? Okay, I'll keep praying. What about the day after? Or the day after? Or the day after? Pray. And then look for the answers. Well, Jason, when should I pray? Can you turn your sermon to some personal application? Okay, here he comes. When should I pray? Well, when shouldn't you? Can I give you a question to your question? Why shouldn't you? When shouldn't you? Have a life of prayer. You're alone, you're in the car, you're driving to the next job, pray. You're alone in the house because the family has finally taken off for the day or two, pray. You're out on the lake fishing, pray. You're with a little tiny baby that, you know, let's face it, before they're like, you know, one or two, they're just adorable little lumps in a rag. Pray. Maybe it's with your spouse. Pray with your spouse. Pray with them about how life is going. Man, you've been married to this person. You chose them. I think sometimes Carla goes, man, I chose him. Sometimes I go, man, I chose her. Whew, I got lucky. Pray with each other. Pray with your friends. Maybe you don't have a spouse. Maybe you're a single person. Yes. Pray with your friends. Pray how you can be involved in their lives and their spiritual walk. Hint, even if we're married, we could be praying with our friends. Maybe you're in your ministry meeting. Maybe you're involved in some sort of ministry. Maybe you don't even lead it. It's always good for you to go, hey, can we pray about this before we get started? Yeah, that'd be great. Pray out loud. But Jason, I can't do that. I am not the praying out loud type. You know, I'm not one of those. I get it. Not truly, I get it. But you know what? Even if you take 3 or 4 simple words, Jesus, thank you for saving me. And that's all you got to say. You know how blessed I would be to hear you say that, because it's going to remind me that I needed saving too? Man, just that little sentence. If we should all be able to say that. Jesus, thank you for saving me. And who knows where that'll lead. Maybe you might get comfortable. Start praying out loud more. Maybe you'll be in your small groups. Here's my again, I'm going to plug small groups. If you're not involved in one, get involved in one. We got plenty, and I would like to see plenty more. And don't do it stalely. Pray with emotion. Pray with life. Pray with vigor. Pray with diligence. Remember, no one can take prayer away from you but who? Yourself. Me. You. Right? No one but you can take prayer away from you. 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you, loves you right where you're at. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe today's a great day. You know, maybe you're just having a wonderful day. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's been a rough week and you have not followed the Lord well. Happens. God loves you right where you're at, and He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. No one but yourself can take prayer away from you. Now let me close with one last quote for you. A.W. Tozer said, prayer is never the least you can do. The least you can do is pray. It's never the least you can do. It is always, always the most. You're interacting with an all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent God who cares for you. It is always the most. Everything else is just cherries on top. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for an opportunity that your word is so rich and alive in our lives. Help us to focus in on your love and care for us in a way that just wants to bubble up and spill out over everybody. Lord, can we trust you as much as a bubbling little baby? Father, we thank you so much that you died on a cross for us, that you care for us right where we're at. Father, if there's someone in this crowd right now who needs you, I pray that they can open their hearts to you, even for the first time today. And Jesus, wherever we are in our walk with you, may we just take all of our anxiety and undue care and set it aside, give it to you and set it aside and never pick it up again. Help us to be able to walk in strength and glory and might and power, that we are more than victorious because we have a relationship with you. Father, help us to look forward to the hope of spending eternity in heaven with you. You are a good, good Father. And we are so blessed to be called your children. Thank you for all the ways you empower us and grace us and bring us mercy day and day and day and day after day. It's in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Stick around. Have some snacks outside. Don't forget to stick around for newcomers brunch as well.
Yeah.